As we prepare to open the Word of God, let's go to Him one more time in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank You again that we can gather in Your presence this morning. And as we open Your Word here this morning, I pray that You would indeed speak to us, reveal Your truth to us, help us to see who You are, and come into Your presence. Father God, I pray this again in Your name. Amen. I would invite you this morning to open your Bibles to Luke 11, verse 1. That's where we're going to begin. This is a very oversimplified statement, and you may or may not agree with me, but there are two types of persistent people in the world. Two types of persistent people in the world. Children and salespeople. Children and salespeople. If you want an example of persistence, children and salespeople will get you there. Children are amazing in their ability to come to their parents and say, "Mom, can I? Mom, can I?" Right? Like over and over until either the child is chastised or the parent breaks. Right? The parent breaks. I'm not going to ask how many times any of you as parents have broken because of persistence this morning. A great example of persistence this morning from a child comes from Twitter, someone from our church, but the name has been redacted for national security reasons. Hey, can I do the things with the cubes and the bars? Mom, 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 can I, can I, can I? So this is hilarious because as I talked to the parent, they came so fast. There was not even an opportunity to respond, right? Like, this is persistence. This is persistence. Another example is obviously salespeople. I love salespeople. I know they have a job to do. I am not saying anything negative about salespeople this morning, but there is a degree of persistence, right? Julie and I remember years ago, we went to Art Van. We were going to buy our first new piece of furniture, and we went to Art Van. And we walked in the front door, and I remember as we walked in the front door, there was like a group of salesmen by the back, and their heads all shot up, and they looked at us like a bunch of lions seeing a gazelle, right? And so there was like a knowing nod, and one guy released from the pack and came towards us. And I remember kind of trying to play with him. Like Julie and I were walking through Art Van, and we would zig, and that guy would zig, and we would zag, and that guy would zag. And finally, he caught us. Right? That's persistence in the hunt. That guy caught us, and he started showing us around couches, and he found out we were in ministry, and so of course he was also in ministry and a pastor at some church somewhere, and he was crazy. And we had this couch that we liked. We ended up buying, worst purchase of our life, not because of this guy, but because of a whole lot of other reasons. This couch that we liked, but we were concerned about the fluff of the cushions. Would they last? Would they not last? And this guy is like, "Oh man, it's no problem. When they go flat, you just rip them off the couch." And he starts throwing the cushions on the ground. And he's like, "You just fluff them like that." And that should have been like a warning sign. But we bought that couch. We bought that couch. That guy won. That guy won. That's persistence. That's persistence. And so some of you also are persistent, but maybe not as a salesperson or a child, right? Some of you are persistent in your hunt for a good deal. You will not buy a cheeseburger at Culver's if you have to pay full price, but if you get that dollar off coupon, you're all in, right? You are persistent for the good deal. Kohl's sends you in the mail the 10% off, and you're there. You're there. You wished it would have been the 30%. But the 10 is okay, right? You're persistent for the good deal. Sometimes some of us are persistent in arguing, right? We like to be right. And so we will consistently argue to get our way and convince the other people they're wrong. Some of you, I'm not naming names, are super persistent in your quest to catch the Pokemon. You're persistent in your quest to catch the Pokemon. I'm looking in a mirror right now. I'm looking in a mirror as Kate and I walked 2 miles last night to hatch an egg. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. That's good. God bless you. While we're persistent, all of us, I think, are persistent to some degree about something, right? There's something in our lives that kind of drives us. We're persistent in that. But the question really for us this morning is, how persistent are you and I when it comes to our prayer and our prayer lives? Do we give up once if we pray and we don't get the answer we want? Clearly God doesn't care. I'm done. Or do we just expect him to answer after the first time? Do you keep asking and get frustrated? Your persistence is just, it's because you feel like you have to, but you're just frustrated in it. Or are you just struggling to even wonder this morning, why do I have to keep asking for the same thing over and over and over again? And these are all good questions. And these make us wonder and think about our prayer lives. How persistent do we need to be, and what for, and why? So we're going to try to unpack that a little bit this morning as we read Luke 11, again, starting at verse 1. Just as a quick heads up, so this is Luke's record of Jesus giving the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. As you read it this morning, you're going to, if you're on top of your Gospels and you recognize differences, you'll see that there's a difference in Luke's recording of this morning. Many people believe that Luke's record of this is Jesus on a second occasion giving this prayer, that it's not the same one from the Sermon on the Mount, but again, the disciples are like, Jesus, teach us how to pray, and so he again tells them, and so this is where we start this morning. One day, when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, Don't bother me. The door's already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? There ends the reading of the word for now. So again, our passage begins with Jesus again going over this model prayer for his disciples. And we covered this 10 weeks ago as we started looking at the Lord's Prayer and what it means for us. And you may recall back then that I noted that this prayer is really interesting because it's really Jesus borrowing from all kinds of Jewish literature and worship and prayer life to pull this prayer together. It's not some kind of new and profound insight he's necessarily giving the disciples. He's just basically pulling everything together and saying to them, pray what you've already been praying. Pray what you've already been praying. Pray to the Lord your God. And so Jesus is really trying to get at the heart of this. Like, there is no magical formula that you need to pray to get the results you need to pray. Just pray as you've been praying to the Lord your God and ask him for these very important things. And then so from there, from this model prayer, which is, again, not super special, Jesus goes into this parable about a guy who needs bread. Right? As we get into this parable, just a little bit about Jewish custom. Jewish custom was that if a friend was coming to stay with you, it was kind of required of you to have a nice spread for them when they arrived. And if they came unannounced, you still had to put out a spread. You still had to have some food. Hospitality was hugely important for this culture, so much so that if a friend came and you didn't have the bread you needed or the food you needed, it became the community's responsibility to provide the food to make sure the stranger or friend was taken care of. And so this sets the stage for this parable, right? So this guy has a friend show up. We don't know if he was expected or unexpected, but he has no food for his friend. And so he goes to his other friend at midnight and knocks on the door. And the friend is like, "Are you kidding me? Don't bother me, man. I'm sleeping. My kids are sleeping." Because what you need to understand, again, in Jewish culture at this time, most houses, again, one room. And at night, they would put out a mat, and the whole family would sleep on one mat together on the floor, essentially. And so if this man gets up, if the knocking hasn't woken his children, he gets up, there is a strong likelihood his stirring will wake his children. This is terrifying as a parent. And if the stirring doesn't wake the children, it's possible the door will, because a lot of times the doors were apparently bolted by a rod that would go through some metal rings on the door. So when you pull the rod out, the metal would be clanking. And again, the likelihood of the children waking up is significant. And yet this man sleeping on the mat knows he is in deep trouble, because if he doesn't get up, this man is probably going to keep knocking, and the kids are up anyways, and so it's like a lose-lose situation for him. And so again, Jesus says very specifically, the man doesn't get up and give him the bread because they're friends, but because of his boldness, otherwise known as his persistence. So the man gets up and gives him the bread. Gotta wonder, I know it's a parable, but as a parent, I kind of want to give him the bread and knock him to the ground, right? Like, what are you doing, man? It's midnight. And it's interesting to think about this parable, because if we were to stop here with this parable, it is easy, I think, to get an idea, a wrong idea of God, right? Jesus doesn't tell this parable to give us a picture of God in this instance. It's more of a parable to teach us something important about prayer. And if we look at it as something to teach us about God, then we get this idea in our heads of a God who is lazy and tired and doesn't have time for us. He begrudgingly does things for us. And this is not Jesus' intent. All right, I just want to make sure that's very clear for us this morning. This is not Jesus' intent. He's trying to say instead, we are to be bold and persistent like the man knocking on the door for bread. We are to pray and to keep praying. And so Jesus goes on from there, right, and says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open." And so Jesus himself is already kind of dispelling, look, I'm not talking about God here, because if you ask, you'll receive. If you seek, you'll find. If you knock, the door is open. God answers your prayers. God is not begrudging about this. And then he goes on a little bit further to talk about God again and just kind of build up this idea of God, right? He says, look, you guys who are fathers in the audience, he says, if your son asks for a fish, you're not going to give him a snake, right? And snake in this instance is probably not like a garden snake. It's probably something poisonous. And he says, if your son asks for an egg, you're not going to be like, here, have a scorpion, right? You're not trying to kill off your family typically. And so Jesus says, and again, Jesus pulls no punches, right? Pulls no punches. He says, look, you guys are evil and you know how to give good gifts. God is not. How much better are the gifts that he will give? And so anyone who asks will receive the Holy Spirit. Which is maybe not what we're expecting at the end of this, right? Because Jesus has been building this whole thing up and says, ask and you receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open to you. We almost get the idea that whatever we ask for, God will give to us. But at the end of it all, Jesus says, ask for the Holy Spirit and it's yours. Unfortunately, he does not say, ask for a new car and it's yours. It's ask for the Holy Spirit, and it's yours. And so what are some of the implications of this whole passage for you and I in our prayer life this morning? Well, I think first and probably too obvious is that Jesus tells us, love the grammar, to keep praying. Whoever puts those things together should be fired. Jesus tells us to keep praying. Some of you are like, there's no grammar problem there. And this is important. It's probably obvious, but it's important to us this morning to keep praying. But I don't know that we always keep this on our in our mind, because here's the deal. When life is good, sometimes we pray less, right? When things are going smooth, we start to get this idea that we're doing it on our own. It's my hard work, it's my effort that are driving my life forward, and because everything's going well, I don't need to pray. So sometimes when life is good, we pray less. I've actually also heard from you, some of you, though, that you pray less when life is bad. When we feel like God has slighted us, we sometimes pray less because we feel like maybe he is not trustworthy or not going to answer or maybe doesn't love us. And obviously, when we're busy, we sometimes pray less. And there are other things as well, I'm sure, in your life that distract you from praying. But Jesus tells his disciples, pray like always, boldly knock on the door, boldly keep approaching the throne of heaven, persistently ask, keep praying. And if you don't get the answer the first time, knock again, keep storming the throne of heaven and communicating with your good Father. There's another parable that Jesus tells about this persistent asking as well. In Luke 18, the parable of the persistent widow who has been robbed of some justice and is knocking at the door of the judge's house relentlessly to get the justice she deserves. And again, finally, the judge comes down and honors the woman's request. But again, in this story, it's not so much about God and a begrudging God. It's about the persistence of the woman to storm the throne of heaven and keep asking for what she needs. And this is really our call as people as well. We are to keep asking until we get an answer. Sometimes that answer could be a legitimate, audible word from God. Some of you have had that. Sometimes it could be confirmation through words of a trusted family member or friend. Sometimes we get the answer directly through Scripture as God teaches us through His Word. And other times we don't get an answer, which is in itself perhaps God's still silent way of saying no. When I think back over the last 10 weeks as we've been in this prayer series, I'm encouraged because I've seen a lot of good things happen as we've talked about prayer. We've had some amazing prayer times after church as people have gathered around folks to pray over them in their situations and circumstances. We've had some amazing prayer gatherings on Wednesday nights as the body has gathered up to just pray over each other and our community. I've heard stories of how some of you have really been invigorated in your prayer life again as you've been reminded weekly about what God calls us to do. You're growing and you're developing. And as we head into the fall and we drop out of this prayer series and move into something else, the temptation for us all will be to take the foot off the gas pedal of prayer. It'll be easy to think that now our focus is on something else. And prayer will go to the back of our mind because we'll have something else in the forefront, and we won't be praying as much as we have been. And so we need to be reminded this morning as we head into the fall even that just because we are not talking about it at the end of the summer doesn't mean it's not important again until we have another series on prayer. We need to keep praying together, keep gathering and praying over each other and praying until God answers us. And there's lots to pray for. We keep praying for healing, God's kingdom to come, God's will to be done, God's provision each day. We pray with lament for brokenness in the world. We pray with desperation, and we pray with gratitude. Next week, Pastor Aaron Wetzel will be preaching, and he's going to be talking about gratitude, unless his plans have changed. We've got to keep praying for all of these things. In 2 weeks, I'm going to stick my neck out on the line and talk about prayer for our country. Because I know a number of you are concerned about where things are headed right now, and you have some dis-ease about what could possibly happen in November, and I know I have to be careful about what I say, and I promise I will be, but we also need to understand what does it mean to pray for our country and our church in times like this. And so there's plenty to pray for, and we need to keep storming the throne of heaven in prayer. So, observation number one, very simple. Keep praying and pray persistently. This isn't pray on Sunday morning and don't do it again till Sunday. It is pray every day, all the time. Another observation is that persistent prayer does not necessarily lead to what we want, but it leads to what we need. So again, if we look at Luke 11 this morning, we kind of get this picture, right? This is persistent prayer that God answers does not mean that we just pray over and over and over again for good things to happen to us. It's not a matter of praying to win the lottery and then hoping that it happens and persistently praying that while playing the lottery. That's not what this story, this passage is about. Persistent prayer, what we see in Luke 11 and really even in Luke 18, is prayer for change. Persistent prayer is prayer for change. Because if this dawned on me late in the week, but as I read both Luke 11 and Luke 18, something interesting struck me. In both cases of persistent prayer, the things that people were storming the throne for were things that were after God's own heart. And so in Luke 11, you see this guy storming on the door, right? Knocking on the door because he needs bread so he can be hospitable to the stranger within his gates. If you read through the Old Testament, you find all kinds of interesting rules that God provides to say you are to take care of the people, the foreigners, the aliens, the widows, all of this stuff. God is telling the people you got to be caring for them. And so it's a matter of hospitality over and over and over again. And in many ways, it's also a matter of obedience. This person is knocking on the door because they are concerned about being obedient to what God requires of them as it relates to caring for people. And so storming the throne, persistent prayer really starts to change us when we ask on a regular basis for God to help us be the obedient people he wants us to be. This isn't about legalism. It isn't about following everything perfectly, but it is about asking God to change our hearts. And God promises to act on behalf of his people when they pray for hearts to be changed, especially your own. When you're struggling with sin, you got to keep going to the Lord with prayer and not stop and ask him to help you change. When you sense temptation creeping in, you got to go to the throne and pray and ask him to help remove that temptation. Persistent prayer changes us and helps us to become more obedient to our Heavenly Father. In Luke 18, this is the other instance, right? The widow is pleading for justice. She's pleading for justice. There's a sense in which whatever happened to her husband, the estate has not been settled properly, and she is in deep trouble. And if the judge doesn't respond, she is going to be in trouble for the rest of her life. And so she's pleading with the judge for justice. And again, it's interesting because this is something that is after God's heart. Again, if you read the Old Testament, I'm not asking you to read the whole thing today, but if you read through the Old Testament, you see time and time again that God has an utmost concern for justice being done for his people, especially, again, the widow, the orphan, the alien, the refugee, all of these people who are marginalized and lacking care, who are oppressed, who are different. And so you and I have this call as well to be persistent in our prayer for things to change, for oppression to cease, for people to be relieved from their bondage and moved into open grace with Jesus. We're to pray persistently for people to thrive as God meant them to thrive. And really, I guess what it boils down to, in a sense, is that we're praying again for God's kingdom to come, right? Over and over and over again. We want the world to be as it ought to be. And so we go to God every day asking him to make the world be as it ought to be. This is not just about going to God every day with the laundry list for myself. It's the laundry list for the world. And we plead with God to do something new. We plead with God, make me new, Lord God. Make me new. And as we plead for that, the third thing I'll say this morning is this. Persistent prayer transforms us. And I really think this is why Jesus surprised us at the end of Luke 11 by saying, he's setting us up to say, ask for anything and it'll be given to you, but instead says, ask for the Holy Spirit and God will give it to you. When we persistently pray about our obedience, when we acknowledge that we need God to work in us, we are acknowledging that apart from his Spirit, we cannot be changed. When we persistently pray for injustice in this world, we again acknowledge that the world is bigger than us and the problems are deeper than we have solutions for. And apart from God, there is no answer. We see that we are actually not God, but God is. And we need him working in us more than ever. When we persistently pray, we're developing a trust that God knows what is best for our lives. And no may be what is best for our lives. Persistent prayer doesn't, even if it's for God's things, the things after God's heart, doesn't mean he's always going to say yes. This is hard for us to understand because we don't understand God's will and what he's planning for us. But even if we're praying for those things like, God, help me to serve you in this world. God, we want to see people's hearts changed in India. It may not happen the way we expect it to happen. There's a great story, and the timing on this story is probably great with the Olympics going on. Many of you have heard of Eric Liddell, the Olympian runner, who in the early 1900s was set to run the 100 meter, but it was going to be on a Sabbath, and so instead he really sought the Lord's will, ran the 400 meter instead, which he hadn't trained for, and won. And that's like an amazing story in and of itself. But Eric Liddell wanted to really, even though sports were great for him, his primary concern was serving God. And he wanted to be a missionary in Asia and lead as many people as possible to Christ. And so he went to China. And he prayed persistently that God would use him to lead people to Christ. And he went there fired up to serve the Lord and continued to pray. And shortly after getting there, Japan invaded China and he was hauled off into a prison camp where he would later die. You have to imagine that he was probably heartbroken at first. Maybe he wasn't. His prayer was to go and serve the Lord in China and lead people to Christ, and now he's stuck in a prison camp. It seems as though God has said no, even to a thing that is after his own heart. But here's the amazing thing. In prison camp, Eric Liddell did probably more good than he would have done running across the Chinese countryside trying to convert people to Jesus. In prison camp, it's recorded that he would get up an hour before he had to every morning and by an oil lamp, pray and read and be with God every morning, persistently praying that something awesome would happen. And every day he was ministering to people in that prison camp and helped save the lives of two men who went on to be substantial missionaries. And one day, he saw a man in the corner of the prison yard, and he walked over to him, and the man was sitting on the ground with a knife in his hands. He had lost all hope and was ready to plunge it into his heart and die. And after conversation, Eric Liddell was able to help this man find hope in Jesus. And Eric Liddell died in prison camp, never seeing how God would use him. But this man who he saved in the corner of the prison yard, who God used to save in the corner of the prison yard, went on to train hundreds of pastors and missionaries in China, which helped fuel the spread of the gospel across that country. What seemed like a no was actually God setting him into the place he wanted to be to do an amazing work on his behalf. His persistent prayer was not answered the way he had hoped, but it was answered maybe even better than he had hoped for. That is persistent prayer. And so we have to pray as people of God that he will be changing us to be more obedient to him, to cast off our sin and our shame and our guilt, and to move into the likeness of Jesus. And we also pray that he will use us to transform his world, that he will use us to be instruments of grace in a world that is broken and hobbled by sin. And we have to trust. Here's the hard part. We have to trust that he will answer our prayers the way he wishes for our best and his glory. And so we pray persistently that his glory would be made known as his word goes forth through us as his people. And so people of God, pray. Pray persistently. Do not give up on yourself or anyone else. But pray that the Spirit of God would be upon you, strengthening you to follow Christ. And pray that the Spirit of God would be upon you to serve his people. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you this morning and we acknowledge that you are God and we are not. And God, we acknowledge that your Son Jesus invites us to knock on the throne of heaven all the time with our prayer requests. We acknowledge, Lord God, that we don't do that very often, and the things we pray for are maybe not the things we should pray for. God, you've invited us to pray persistently that we would be changed into obedient children, that you would work in our hearts to help us love like Jesus loved, to serve like Jesus loved. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to pray more, that we would be instruments of your grace in this world. God, we pray this morning that you would work in our hearts and mold us into the likeness of Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that you would work in your world to remove those things that oppress your people. And God, we ask for your kingdom to come. We ask that you would strengthen our faith. We ask that you would help us to be people who are on our knees all of the time praying to you for the things in this world which need you most, for the people in this world that need you most. Drive our prayer life, God, and send your Spirit upon us. Amen. Let's sing.